Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. That is how our gospel opens today. If we remember, John had been baptizing in the wilderness of Judea, not far from Jerusalem, the religious and political center of the country. John, in preaching his message of repentance, particularly to those in power, and in saying that the kingdom of heaven had come near, was arrested by the religious and political authorities of his time. And we see Jesus taking up that message. Before he ever says, "Follow me," he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He is saying the same thing that John was saying. So the ministry of Jesus opens with an element of danger in the background. He can, and ultimately will, be arrested for saying the things that John was saying. We know from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry that the cost of discipleship is high. This ought to be of concern to us as Christians living in the most powerful country in the world. We are currently like the people to whom John was preaching, and to whom the people Jesus would preach to just before he was arrested and crucified, at the center of power. Episcopalians like to boast that we have had more presidents than any other denomination in the United States. More presidents than any other denomination, but that is not something to boast about in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven demands we repent and follow Jesus, and that can be a very difficult thing to do, particularly when one is doing well in the world as it is. John and Jesus were not arrested and executed because they were harmless to those in authority. They were arrested precisely because the kingdom of heaven is a threat to the corrupt way the world is run and to the people who benefit from the world as it is. What does that have to do with us? Before Jesus ever says, "Follow me," he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, what does he mean by repent, and does our story today give us any clues? We read on. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. They dropped everything they were doing, gave up everything that they thought was important. They gave up their livelihood in that moment to follow some strange religious guy who tells them that they would fish for people. And we see the same thing happen with James and John. Immediately, they left the boat with their father and followed him. Now, these were fishermen. They weren't the wealthy elite of Jerusalem. These were people who, even if they were very profitable fishermen, were not exactly living lives of luxury. They were mending their own nets. They were working class, blue-collar people. And they drop everything because Jesus told them to. How many of us would drop everything just because Jesus says, "Follow me"? If Jesus walked into our place of business and said, "Follow me," would we drop everything we were doing to follow him? What if we were enjoying just some much needed rest after a very hard week at work? If Jesus stopped by our houses when we were resting and said, "Follow me," would we drag our butts off the couch? What about on Super Bowl Sunday? "Jesus, I'm making wings. Either sit down and have some or go bother some Patriots fans." What the disciples did in this story was truly remarkable. And maybe we are intimidated at this point. This seems to ask a lot of us. I can't just drop everything, we might say. I would have no money or security. Or, "Jesus, I've been working all week. Can you come back when I've had a little time to myself?" And this is why Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." We have to repent of the things that we think are more important than Jesus. We have to realize that the things that we value are not the things that God values. And if this story tells us anything, it's that those who have more to lose are less likely to drop everything. Peter and Andrew, John and James, they were fishermen. They were not wealthy. They were the ones who followed Jesus. The people of Judea, the religious and political elite, they arrested and executed both John and Jesus. The disciples were simple people with simple lives. It was actually easier for them to see how important following Jesus actually was. People with more investments in the world as it is, they might be tempted to think that they have no reason for God or God's kingdom. But let us also remember that when times got tough and Jesus was actually arrested, Peter and Andrew, John and James, all scattered. They abandoned Jesus in his time of need. So while the disciples were truly remarkable in following Jesus, they still ran when it counted the most. This should serve as a caution to those of us who think we follow Jesus all the time, because even those who did follow Jesus all the time ran away when things were most difficult. Now here is the good news. Notice what Jesus says to the fishermen. I will make you fishers of men. That is a strange thing to say. But now think about what you do in life and ask yourself, how is Jesus asking me to follow him? To the teachers, is he saying, follow me and I will make you teachers of God's children? To the builders and contractors, is he saying, follow me and I will make you build the kingdom of heaven? To the wealthy, is he saying, follow me and I will show you what real wealth is? Jesus does not call us away from our context. The disciples stayed who they were. We see other stories of them fishing in the future and sailing their boats in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus didn't take away from who they were. He added to it. He made them something more. They just had to be willing to give up everything. Peter stayed a fisherman. Paul, after his calling, stayed a tent maker. And he practiced his craft to provide for himself during his ministry to the Gentiles, where he pitched a tent big enough to cover all of God's people, both Jews and Gentiles alike. But remember that both Peter and Paul were martyred for their faith. Like Jesus and John before them, they were arrested and executed. Before they were ever following Jesus, they had to be willing to give up everything, even their lives. They repented of everything in their life that wasn't of God. And so we, like those who came before us, have to be willing to repent. We have to look at the things in our lives that we value more than God. We have to look at the things in our lives that would make it hard for us to follow Jesus. We have to look at those things and let them go. Do we value wealth or security more than Jesus? Jesus says, repent and follow me. Do we value our time and our ability to do whatever we want more than Jesus? Jesus says, repent and follow me. Do we value our opinions or our politics more than Jesus? Do we value our need to be right all the time more than Jesus? Do we value our own success and glory more than Jesus? Jesus says over and over again, repent and follow me. And for those of us who don't know where to start, for those of us who say, okay, Father Brian, you keep saying follow Jesus, but what does that even mean? Start small. Look at what you're already good at. We have people in this congregation who are excellent at quilting. They make blankets for the poor with their spare time. We have people in this congregation who love to shop, and they jump at the opportunity to buy Christmas presents for those who have less. We have people in this congregation who love to cook and prepare meals for the elderly once a month. And we have people in this congregation who are overworked like the rest of us, who still find time to go out and visit the poor, the sick, and the needy in Manhattan, in Patchogue, and yes, even here in Sayville. We need quilters, we need cooks, we need shoppers, we need teachers, we need contractors, we need anyone and everyone who is willing to let everything go to follow Jesus. And if you are still unsure, if you still wonder, what do I have to offer? Not like the little drummer boy, we don't need anyone banging a drum for no good reason, unless you're a really good drummer, then we could possibly use you. But if you're asking yourself, what do I have to offer? Come. Talk to Mother Diane, talk to myself, talk to someone in this congregation who you see doing something that you like. And just ask, how can I follow Jesus today? My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven has come near. I pray that we would all repent of all that would hinder us in the kingdom and follow Jesus in whatever way we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. That is how our gospel opens today. If we remember, John had been baptizing in the wilderness of Judea, not far from Jerusalem, the religious and political center of the country. John, in preaching his message of repentance, particularly to those in power, and in saying that the kingdom of heaven had come near, was arrested by the religious and political authorities of his time. And then we see Jesus taking up that message. Before he ever says, follow me, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He is saying the same thing that John was saying. So the ministry of Jesus opens with an element of danger in the background. He can and ultimately will be arrested for what he is saying. We know from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry that the cost of discipleship is very high. This ought to be of concern to us as Christians living in the most powerful country in the world. We are currently like the people to whom John was preaching and to whom Jesus would preach just before he was crucified, at the center of power. Episcopalians like to boast that we have had more presidents of the United States than any other denomination. But that is not something to boast about in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven demands that we repent and follow Jesus. And that can be a very difficult thing to do, particularly when one is doing well in the world as it currently is. John and Jesus were not arrested and executed because they were harmless to those in authority. They were arrested and executed precisely because the kingdom of heaven is a threat to the corrupt way the world is run and to the people who benefit from the world as it is. Now, what does this have to do with us? Before Jesus ever says, follow me, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. What does he mean by repent? Does he give us any clues? We read on. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they dropped everything they were doing, gave up everything they thought was important. They gave up their livelihood to follow some strange religious guy who tells them that they would fish for people. And we see the same thing happen with James and John. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, these were fishermen. They weren't the wealthy elite of Jerusalem. These were people who, even if they were profitable fishermen, were not exactly living lives of luxury. They were mending their own nets. They were working class, blue-collar people. And they drop everything because Jesus told them to. How many of us would drop everything just because Jesus says, follow me? If Jesus walked into our place of business and said, follow me, would we drop everything we were doing to follow him? What if we were enjoying just some much-needed rest, just relaxing after a hard week of work, and Jesus stopped by our house and said, follow me, would we drag our butts off the couch to go follow him? What about on Super Bowl Sunday? Jesus, I'm making wings. Either sit down and have some or go bother some Patriots fans. You like that one, right? What the disciples did in this story was truly remarkable. And maybe we're a bit intimidated at this point because this seems like a lot to ask of us. I can't just drop everything, we might say. I don't have the money. I wouldn't have the security. Or even just, Jesus, I've been working all week. Can I have some time for rest or some time to myself? And this is why Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We have to repent of the things that we think are more important than Jesus. We have to realize that the things that we value are not the things that God values. And if this story tells us anything, it's that those who have more to lose are less likely to drop everything. John and James, Peter and Andrew, they were fishermen. They were not wealthy. They were the ones who followed Jesus. The people of Judea, the religious and political elite, they were the ones who arrested and executed both John and Jesus. The disciples were simple people with simple lives. It was actually easier for them somehow to see how important it was to follow Jesus. People with more investments in the world as it is, they might be tempted to think that they have no need for God or for God's kingdom. But let us also remember that when times got tough and Jesus was actually arrested, Peter and Andrew, John and James, they all scattered. They abandoned Jesus in his time of need. So while the disciples were remarkable in following Jesus, they still ran when it counted the most. This should serve as a caution to those of us who think we follow Jesus all the time, because even those who did follow Jesus all the time ran away when things were most difficult. Now here's the good news. Notice what Jesus says to these fishermen. I will make you fishers of men. That is a strange thing to say. But now think about what you do in life and ask yourself, how is Jesus asking me to follow him? To the teachers, is he saying, follow me and I will make you teachers of God's children? To the builders and contractors, is he saying, follow me and I will make you build the kingdom of heaven? To the wealthy, is he saying, follow me and I will show you what real wealth is? Jesus does not call us away from our context. He does not call us away from who we are. He adds to it. The disciples, they stayed who they were. We see other stories of them fishing in the future, sailing their boats in the Sea of Galilee. He did not take away from who they were. He added to it. He made them something more. They just had to be willing to give up everything. Peter stayed a fisherman. Paul, after his calling, stayed a tent maker and practiced his craft to provide for himself during his ministry to the Gentiles, where he pitched a tent big enough to cover all of God's people, Jews and Gentiles alike. But remember, both Peter and Paul were martyred for their faith. Like Jesus and John before them, they were arrested and executed. They had to be willing to give up everything, even their lives. They repented of everything in their life that wasn't of God. And so we, like those who came before us, have to be willing to repent. We have to look at the things in our lives that we value more than God. We have to look at the things in our lives that would make it hard for us to follow Jesus. We have to look at those things and let them go. Do we value wealth or security more than Jesus? Jesus says, repent and follow me. Do we value our time and our ability to do whatever we want? more than Jesus. Jesus says, repent and follow me. Do we value our opinions or our politics more than Jesus? Do we value our need to be right all the time more than Jesus? Do we value our own success and glory more than Jesus? Jesus says over and over again, repent and follow me. And for those of us who don't know where to start, for those of us who say, okay, Father Brian, you keep saying follow Jesus, but what does that mean? Start small. Look at what you're already good at. We have people in this congregation who are excellent at quilting. They make blankets for poor people in their spare time. We have people in this congregation who love to shop, and they jump at the opportunity to buy Christmas presents for those who are in need during Christmas time. We have people in this congregation who love to cook, and they prepare meals for the elderly once a month. And we have people in this congregation who are overworked like the rest of us, who still find time to go out and visit the poor and the sick and the needy in Manhattan, in Patchogue, and yes, even here in Sayville. We need quilters. We need cooks. We need shoppers. We need teachers. We need contractors. We need anyone and everyone who is willing to let everything go to follow Jesus. And if you are still unsure, if you still wonder, what do I have to offer? Like that little drummer boy, just please don't bring like the little drum and bang it around. I mean, it's cute in the movie, but it's not really anything we're looking for. But if you wonder, what do I have to offer? Come, talk to Mother Diane, talk to myself. Ask anyone in the congregation who is doing something that you already like, who is doing something that maybe you want to be a part of. And just ask them, or ask us, how can I follow Jesus today? My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven has come near, and I pray that we would all repent of the things that hinder that kingdom and follow Jesus in whatever way we can. In Jesus' name, amen.